This is Ashley Hodge with the Sikkim 365 podcast, and I'm joined by Grayson Grunhafer. We're coming to you before the Big 12 tournament, so we're going to make this a Big 12 tournament preview. All podcast content for basketball is brought to you by Syntex Bookkeeping. For bookkeeping, accounting, and payroll needs, Syntex Bookkeeping is your source. Grayson, how are you doing today?
Good, good. Just like I told you when you called, I'm just excited. It's March, man. This is one of the best months of the year. And then, of course, it culminates with, in my opinion, the best sporting event of all sporting events outside of maybe the Olympics. So I am, and maybe the World Cup. But I'm just extremely excited every single year for March. And I think we're on the same page with that. So this is going to be a really fun podcast. And the one for the tournament will be even more fun. But I'm ready to get going in March.
Man, it is a great time of year. I mean, I'm a little bit perturbed that this stock market chaos has kind of taken away my normal excitement for it. But I'm sure once those games start, I'll have that fully on my mind. And I can't wait to get up to Kansas City and watch the Bears. And I hope that this will be their first Big 12 tournament championship. I think they have a really good shot to win it this year. And I will say this to start off. For those that don't think that Scott Drew cares about winning a Big 12 championship, you just need to watch his press conference today. I think he has 100% a survive and advance mentality, and I think he's going up to Kansas City to win that tournament. And I think all of our players are the same way. They're too competitive. They're too, you know, strong-minded, I think, to just go in there and fold in the towel and get ready for the NCAA tournament. You got to build some momentum. You got to, you know, avenge these losses that you took at the end of the regular season. And you have a pretty good chance to do that if the chalk holds. If TCU beats Kansas State, then you can avenge that loss. And then I think West Virginia is the better team versus Oklahoma, don't you? Well, we'll talk. Yeah. We'll get into that later.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. We'll get into it. We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see on that.
So let's start. You want to start by talking about the All-Big 12 team?
Let's do it. I got some fun facts that I told you about before we started the podcast about this All-Big 12 team. And you know, if you just want to go back and just see if anyone foretold, you know, the future of what the Big 12 team could look like after a couple weeks, Ashley just asked me this random question. He was like, all right, who's the All-Big 12 team? You know, Ashley was thinking there's probably going to be Ashley thought there were going to be five Baylor players on the All-Big 12 team. And, you know, I was just sitting there calm, collected, and, you know, I just, Jared Butler, Joe Kazabuki, Devon Dotson, you know, Christian Doolittle was having a great year and still had a great year. So I think he'll make it. And then I got to my last one. I said Desmond Bane. And I think Ashley almost fell out of his chair laughing that I said Desmond Bane. And I'm telling you, man, I looked at the All-Big 12 team and surprise, surprise, man, that is the first team All-Big 12 team right there. Pretty amazing. Wouldn't you say?
No, a month and a half out. I have to give you your kudos. You know, Desmond Bane from 7-Eleven Horned Frogs did make the All Big 12 team, so congratulations to him. I think we would all agree Tyrese Halliburton probably would have been on that first team if he had stayed healthy. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would, but I don't agree that he should be on second team. Personally, I think that's a slight jab at three guys that are on the third team that I think are more deserving than him.
All right. So do you think there were any slights on that, on those? First of all, this has been an incredible year for the Baylor Bears. I don't think in the history of Baylor basketball has Baylor been recognized as much as they were this year on the all-conference teams. They had all five of their starters named to the first, second, or third team. They had three of their starters on the defensive first team, which is incredible. And then they also had, you know, the sixth man of the year. They had the newcomer of the year. What else did they? I mean, they as coach of the year, well-deserved. I mean, Scott Drew, guy that's done it without arguably his best player preseason, Tristan Clark, you know, really not giving much as far as production's concerned. Arguably his second best player. I mean, I would make an argument that Jared Butler was probably his best player all along. But arguably, you know, Mario Kegler, who they expected a lot out of, and all of a sudden he goes AWOL 2 months before the season starts. And yet this staff has been able to cobble together a 26-4 season and really in a good position to get the one seed, especially if they can get a win or two in this Big 12 tournament. Not the overall one seed, but a one seed. And that's just a tremendous accomplishment. And Scott Drew deserves that. He runs the program the right way. He doesn't have FBI investigators breathing down his neck. He has no traceable payments to players like some other coaches in our conference do. And so kudos to Scott Drew. He's well-deserved, and you know, I think this is the first of many, many Coach of the Year awards going forward.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, you know, kudos to this team. They've definitely had a great year. Now, obviously, I'm a little more on the critical side. You know, I answered this in the podcast today. Someone asked me, you know, is it Elite Eight or bust? And I do believe that. I do believe that this team needs to make an Elite Eight. I think this is a year where they've been in the top five for, I think, 10 straight weeks now. I know the tournament is really wacky and really weird, but I'm looking at that 4 or 5 seed line, and they shouldn't lose to any of those teams, to be honest. I don't believe that they should, unless maybe like a Michigan State falls there, but I don't think they will. So I do believe that this team does need to make a run in the tournament for it to really put a cap on what has been an amazing, amazing season. I think if they come out and lose in the second round, even the Sweet 16, it does put a slight damper on what has been just a marvelous season. When you look at the first, second, and third team, and you have all 5 starters, there's really no reason that they shouldn't be able to make a run in March.
Well, we're all hoping for that. I'm probably a little bit more lax on that. I mean, I think I place a lot more value on the regular season. But, you know, I will say it would depend on the game. I mean, if they come out and they play Providence, let's say, you know, and Providence is a hot team, and Providence goes.
Wait, in the 8-9? If they lose to in the 8-9 in the round of 32,
well,
as a 1 seed?
Well, I mean, isn't Providence going to be more along the 4-5 line?
Well,
I thought they've played themselves into that.
They're projected. Okay, yeah, they might. Where are they at? Oh, they're a 7 right now. So okay. They're kind of up. We'll see. I think they're probably going to do some damage in the Big East tournament.
Yeah,
though, so.
If they win the Big East tournament, they may go all the way up to the.
They'll be a 4.
The 4.
Yeah, they'll be
line.
A 4.
Yeah. So I'm thinking more of a Sweet 16 game. But anyway, I mean, you know, I to me it's Sweet 16. I mean, I think Baylor making the Sweet 16 is. You know, a reasonable expectation. I would be very disappointed if they did not make it to the Sweet 16. Now, I know this team has higher aspirations. Obviously, it's not inconceivable that they could, you know, not make it to the Sweet 16 because TCU beat them. I mean, you know, at their home court, but Washington beat them. I mean, they've already lost to some teams that are going to be worse than the teams that they're going to play in that, you know, matchup to go to the Sweet 16. But, you know, I would say, making it to the Sweet 16 is kind of my expectation for my baseline expectation. And then I would say from there, you know, it's going to be difficult to make a Final Four. This team certainly is one of the favorites to make the Final Four, and I'm certainly hopeful that they will make the Final Four. I think they have the team and the players and the mental toughness to do it. Anyway, that's my expectation.
Oh, okay. So let me name these teams and you tell me which ones in the Sweet 16 you think it would be, you know, okay to lose to. Okay. So, BYU, Wisconsin, Oregon, Auburn, who just lost A&M, by the way, Ohio State, Butler, Maryland, Louisville. All of those
Maryland.
Teams have had, yeah, they're a 4 seed right now.
Oh, well, yeah, you wouldn't play Maryland until – oh, in the Sweet 16. I got
in the Sweet 16. 16. Any of those teams, look at any of those teams consistency-wise throughout the season. Those are some
of
the most inconsistent teams.
Very true. Very inconsistent. I would say of the matchups I would want there, I think I'd prefer like a Wisconsin. You know, Butler is an interesting team. I definitely would want BYU. I would want Auburn. I'm fine with those. Ohio State.
Love Ohio State.
Yeah.
Louisville. Although
Oregon.
Louisville's got an NBA guy. So
right.
That's the one thing.
Butler, I mean, but Kamar Baldwin. Did you see what he did Saturday? Did you watch the highlights of that at the end of the game?
I did not.
He had a step back three at the
ooh,
buzzer.
Ooh. Wow. That's one. Did I pick that one? Oh, yeah. Oh, I did pick that one. That's good to know. Got that on the list. Yeah, I mean, So just to run through Butler's schedule here, they have a 20-point loss to one of your favorite teams, Marquette. A 13-point loss to DePaul. You know, lost to Nova, lost Seton Hall. Obviously, the loss to Baylor. And then towards the end of the year, got just smoked by Creighton. Lost to Georgetown. I mean, they've been up and down. But, yeah, at the end of the year, they've gone on a little bit of a run. Right. And they face Providence in the first round of their tournament. So
yeah, that's going to be tough. So they're projected to win that 66-64. That's going to be a pretty difficult game for them to win. I think I would take Providence in that one.
Yeah, but I'm just saying more so along the lines for this is just, again, I know your preference is different. I think they need to get to the Elite Eight. I think everything sets up for it. You mentioned 20% chance if you're one seed to make Final Four. What's the percentage 40, that makes 40%, the Elite Eight?
40% chance.
Okay, so what about the Elite Eight?
Let me pull that up.
That's got to be like, I mean, you've gone all year getting the one seed to give yourself a great draw and – then, I mean, to lose in a Sweet 16, I just feel like is very, I don't know. I think this seems better than that. At least they've played like it throughout the year until this most recent stretch.
Okay, here we go. Odds of each to advance the round. Let's see.
To the Elite Eight?
Yeah, let's see. Pretty high.
high. Yeah, what is it?
69%.
Yeah, 86%
to get to the Sweet 16. 69% Elite Eight.
So there's zero excuse, in my opinion, especially in a year like this year, for them to lose in the round of 32. That's like not even – that's a big upset in my mind. And then if you lose in the Sweet 16, it's still – I mean, you're almost at 70%.
Right.
Like, I think, to me, that does put a damper on what has been an awesome season. But, you know – who knows? Maybe Baylor makes it to the Final Four and exceeds all expectations by a mile.
Sure.
And that would be phenomenal.
Yep. Yeah. Well, it's been a great year no matter what happens. But yeah, I would like to win the Big 12 tournament and then win the national championship. That would make this year even better. Would you agree with
definitely.
That statement?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
35 and 4 with a national championship. That'd be an incredible season. Yeah.
Definitely.
They can do it. I mean, you know, obviously if you win 23 in a row, you can win 9 in a row. So that journey starts this Thursday. So any thoughts on so did you think there was any slights on the Big 12, all Big 12 team?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I did. I understand how good Udoka Azubuike and Devon Dotson have been, but Tyrese Halliburton, I'm sorry, man. There is no way he should be on second team over Marcus Garrett. There's no way. There is zero reason for that. I'm okay with Jamias Ramsey because I think he has carried Tech offensively. Like, they have relied on him very heavily in my mind. And, of course, Big O. You know, Big O's got great stat line. He's had a good year. Capped it off with another double-double against Baylor. So I think he's fine there, but Marcus Garrett needs to be on the second team. Halliburton didn't play a whole lot, and when he did play, the team still stunk. So Marcus Garrett is my biggest snub in my mind. He needs to be on the second team at least.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. I agree with you, and honestly, I think there's some players on that third team that I would put over Jamias Ramsey. I mean, do you think that Ramsey was more valuable to his team than Mitchell or Vital?
Oh, man. Oh, gosh. You know, in different ways. That's the problem. I think that Ramsey on the offensive end, like, Tech is not a good offensive team. And without him, they lost three games. I mean, to me, that's a big reason why I give Ramsey the nod there. Now, they're not great this year, as we've seen. You know, it's kind of played out like that. But still, three of their losses were without him. When he has played, they've been significantly better. And he's what they need on the offensive end. Mitchell and Vital have been great. And if Baylor had closed the season stronger, I would probably feel differently on it.
Yeah.
Like, if they had won the Big 12, they would be on second team in my mind.
Right. But Garrett should be on. I mean, Garrett's
the no-brainer in my mind. I don't understand that.
Yeah, I know you're going to totally disagree with this. And obviously, the people that vote on this are going to disagree with it as well. But to me, Marcus Garrett is the most valuable player on Kansas, even more than Udoka Azubuike.
Yeah, I'm not going that far, but I do think he's I think he's spectacular and deserves to be on second team. I think the problem with Doak is, I mean, I know that we don't want to say stats matter, but that dude over the last like the second half of Big 12 play has been absolutely ridiculous. And like the bigger thing with him is, and it, I mean, to some extent it's Garrett as well, but if you take Azubuike off Kansas, I mean, no offense to McCormick, but that dude is nothing compared to Azubuike. Like, they are not very good without him. They don't have the depth to replace him.
Yeah,
in my mind.
Yeah, I agree with that. Well, I mean, it's debatable. We will never know. But like, if Marcus Garrett were to get injured in the first round of the Big 12 tournament, I would say that significantly limits Kansas's ceiling, and I say they would go from a team that I would be really shocked if they lost before the Elite Eight to they could easily get upset in the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight without Marcus Garrett.
Well, he holds their defense together. Right. I mean, they went on the road and destroyed Oklahoma without Devon Dotson.
And he was
with him running point.
Yeah, and he was making the winning plays against Texas Tech on Saturday as well. I mean, you know, he missed the free throw that allowed Moretti an opportunity to tie the game in regulation. I think it was for the tie. But yeah, I mean, I think that Marcus Garrett is a guy that is undervalued and better than third team. I would agree with you. But I also think I would move. So I know you got a ton of Baylor guys on the team already, and I would probably move Halliburton and Ramsey down to the third team and put Vital and Garrett on that second team. And, you know, I guess because, I mean, Mitchell is so good, you know, defensively and all around, but I guess just because he's been a little inconsistent on offense that maybe you leave him on the third. I don't know. I mean, Freddie Gillespie, yeah, you can make a strong argument for Freddie being first team, all Big 12 over Bain, just because of the wins. I mean, 15 wins versus 7. But Bain's spectacular. Bain's spectacular.
Freddie down the stretch has, in my mind, struggled a little bit.
Yeah.
And he's been...
Well, with Dal Vital...
I mean, teams are attacking him a little bit.
Well, and the game he played with Dal Vital, you could tell he really needed Vital in there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. And I just think it's absurd for Kansas to only have two guys on the first and second team. Like, what are we doing here? They just went 17-1 in conference. Like, yeah. I personally... That was my biggest issue there. The other ones, like, I do get what you're saying on Mitchell and Vital. I mean, because let's be honest, Iowa State, Texas Tech, and West Virginia have all been super inconsistent as teams. You know, Baylor had a tough run at the end of the year, but other than that, I mean, they were the best team in the league for, what, 12 games, 13
right.
games?
Right.
So you can make a case for all those guys, I think.
Yeah, and you know, I guess if you're going to nitpick a little bit, I mean, you had four elite defensive teams in the Big 12, and Baylor and Kansas get all five of the all Big 12 defensive team. You know, that was a little surprising to me. I don't necessarily have an argument with it, but you know, there's guys like who's Texas Tech's best defender? Maybe Clark Holyfield. I don't know. I mean,
I don't understand how Desmond Bain makes first team all Big 12 and doesn't make the all defensive team.
He's a good defender.
I think he's their best defender.
Yeah.
Which I know is not saying a whole lot because they don't have a great defense. But, to me, I mean, yeah, he scores well for them, but I feel like he's very solid on the defensive end. Like, if I'm looking at first team, I wouldn't say, oh, he's a surefire first team because of his offense.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. I just thought that was a little bit weird. Tech doesn't have, to me, a guy that, oh, man. That guy's a lockdown defender playing 30 plus minutes a game.
Yeah, I mean, right? they played 11 guys against Baylor, so I mean they platoon so much that I get what you're saying for sure. Yeah. Well, let's review our picks. How do we do this weekend? I have no idea.
So I am sitting here. I might need your help finishing filling this out. So sure. If we want to go through this, so I got the Big 12. We both were way off.
Right.
On Texas, Oklahoma State.
Yep.
Way off on that. You took OU over TCU, which was a great pick. That ended up
never
coming to fruition.
Never in doubt. Yep.
Never in doubt. Never. Yeah, down 20 at half, right? Or 18. Kansas over Tech, we both picked that one. We both picked Baylor over West Virginia, wrong there. We both took K-State over Iowa State, so yep. Good stuff there. I gave you the San Diego State over Air Force, unfortunately. they couldn't hold on. I should have told you that you get San Diego State and I get the field, because they ended up losing to Utah State in the final there.
Yep.
Very sad that I texted you that the Kentucky-Florida game was off, because Kentucky won without their best player. Jeez, Florida, what are you doing? And then, so those are kind of the start of the games. The ones that I'm missing, Yale and Harvard. Who ended up winning that one?
I think Harvard won that. Did you take Yale? Or you took Harvard?
No. That's, you picked that one. Oh, you took Yale over Harvard.
Okay.
As your upset. Let me, one of your upsets.
Yeah, let me make sure on that. But I'm pretty sure I saw Harvard won that one.
Okay. You did pick A&M over Arkansas. Yeah, great pick there. They did. Okay, so you took a loss there. I got by far our biggest upset of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, I totally just pulled this
very impressive
out of nowhere. And Northwestern smoked the crumbling Penn State Nittany Lions. Those dudes are crumbling down the stretch. So their best team ever is starting to wither away. Louisville, Virginia. Virginia win that one?
Yes, Virginia did win that one.
Oh, man. Well, I think you got, yep, you got that one. St. John's Marquette.
Oh, St. John's. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, Marquette tried to make it a game, but St. John's ended up winning.
Okay, Seton Hall, Creighton. I need this one.
Creighton. Creighton won that, yeah. They won in impressive fashion.
Cool, so I got that one back on you there. So for the week, I went, oh gosh, I went 5-4.
Okay.
And you went what looks to me to be, oh wow, you picked, yeah, 7-2.
Okay. You know what? I think I picked Texas Tech to beat Kansas. So I think you need to swap me there. I'm pretty sure I did. Did you write it down, Cam? Maybe I picked Kansas. I don't know.
I wrote it down when I picked. I think you were wanting Waffling. To pick Tech, yeah. But you. I think that's what you said. I want to pick Tech, but okay. I think Kansas is
okay.
going to win.
Okay.
So I'll give it to you. Give it to you right now. So now you have a. Ooh. Oh man, I need to make it up in this Big 12 tournament because now you're up to a 7-game lead on me. For the season.
This is what happens. I think it's called the gambler's fallacy. You get behind, and then you start taking more and more risk, unnecessary risk. So,
and you just keep losing, right?
The spread's going to widen because you're going to take riskier and riskier bets, and some of them are going to pay off. See, you're emboldened by the Northwestern bet, and now you're thinking, oh, this is awesome. I can go ahead and pick a team that's only won 6 or 7 games all year and pick them as my dark horse. And, you know, you just get.
Yeah, to win the conference, right? Yep, I'm going right back to Northwestern. They're making the NCAA tournament.
the easiest conference tournament in the history of the Big Ten.
So curious question on that. Northwestern wins the Big Ten. What seed do they get?
That would be hilarious. If
with 11 wins, I think, or 12 wins.
Yeah. Well, they would have to be like a 15 or a 14, I would think.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I'd love to see it.
Yeah. But, that would be chaos.
Oh yeah. You want to get into the Big 12 tourney?
Let's talk about it. So the bracket's obviously been out since Saturday. And we've got, let me get to the, where did I put that? There it is. Okay. So, the first round games Wednesday night, I'll be in a car on my way to, Kansas City on Wednesday. And so Oklahoma State takes on Iowa State in the 6 o'clock matchup. I mean, I think based on the way those two teams are playing, it would be a real shock if Oklahoma State, were to lose that game. I think Oklahoma State's going to win that game in convincing fashion. What's your thoughts on that matchup?
Yep, Oklahoma State is rolling through that. They're playing well. That quarterfinal matchup, I might be getting ahead of myself, but it's looking a little interesting.
They might knock Kansas off.
I'm going to take OSU in that matchup. I think they're rolling. Iowa State's done. I think they've given up on the season.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, Iowa State's going to have probably 15,000 fans there in Kansas City like they always do every year. It's their spring break. They're going to migrate down from Des Moines to come and watch a team that has less than a tenth of a percent chance to win the Big 12 tournament. I'm kidding. I know some Iowa State people because I've sold tickets to them in the past, and I just reached out to them. I wasn't planning on selling tickets to them, but I was just like, hey, you come to the Big 12 tournament? And they're like, I'm going to sit this one out, boss. You know, it's like the same response over and over again. So I wouldn't expect very many Iowa State fans there. So, yeah, I say Oklahoma State wins that. TCU at Kansas State, or not at – well, kind of at Kansas State. But how do you think that one goes? You think some KSU fans are going to show up?
I do, but ultimately I think – you know, a lot of the Big 12 tournament, in my mind, is the teams that need it more. I know K-State maybe kind of thinks that they can win the Big 12 tournament and make the tournament, but I think TCU's thinking, all right, we win two games, and we might be in the tournament. You know what I mean? So yeah. I think might be. Might is the key word. But I think they will win this one. I think they're going to get up for this game. And Desmond Bain, first team all Big 12, prove it. They need to win this game. I think they get it done.
I'm going to go with Kansas State in this matchup.
Wow. Xavier Sneed, huh?
Yeah. I don't know. I just have a feeling. So, KenPom, whoa, man. I'm surprised. So, KenPom has it TCU 64, Kansas State 63. So, they have it kind of a pick 'em.
Wow.
Did you see the video of Xavier Sneed on senior day signing the little girl's jersey and the girl was in tears by chance?
I didn't, but I saw that he had an amazing game.
Yeah, he played well. I you need to Google that, the Xavier Sneed jersey. ESPN retweeted it, all kinds of retweets. I mean, it was really very heartwarming. I probably wow.
Is she crying?
She's crying, yeah. And I would have enjoyed it even more had I not met. Hang on. This is Larry Gatewood. I've got to decline him here.
Larry, oh, you're good.
Larry calls me a lot. I would have appreciated the video more, except for the interaction with the Mrs. Snead at the Farrell Center. Mm-hmm. I couldn't quite appreciate it as much as I should have, but it was a pretty cool moment to see like Xavier Snead, you know, go sign this jersey and this was the girls, like she was in tears. She was so happy about it. So pretty neat. See a lot of awesome. Cool moments, senior days around the country. So
definitely.
Yeah, so
always
I'm going.
Exciting time.
Yep, I'm going Kansas State now. Who's okay. So let's go to the quarterfinals. We got an NCAA play-in game on Thursday to start it out, 11:30 a.m. Texas Tech against your Red Raiders.
Ooh.
So who do you think survives and advances in that one?
Man, that is a tough one. I think Texas Tech is a better team.
Yep.
And Texas just looks so awful the last game of the year. I'm going to take Tech. I think that one's pretty much a toss up, but I'll go with Tech. I think they get it done and advance to the semis.
You're going with the team that lost four in a row, huh? Interesting.
I am. They lost to some good teams on there.
Texas at home, one of those teams by 10.
Yeah. Let's see if they get them again. I mean, Chris Beard's auditioning for a job right here. So.
Exactly. Texas has won 5 of 6. Yeah, woo. But that game against Oklahoma State kind of creates all kinds of doubts in my mind.
So who are you taking?
I'm gonna go with Texas Tech. I do think they're the better team. They need it. They'll rally around that 4-for-1 or whatever that battle cry is that they have. And you know, like you said, Chris Beard, he's on the NBA's radar according to Wojciechowski.
You know what I love, Ashley?
What's that?
When you downplay my pick and then you pick the same pick as me, it's just great.
Yeah, I mean, shoot. Woj says he's like the hottest coach in Big 12 or in college basketball. The NBA's got their eyes set on him.
Good luck in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Good luck in Cleveland, Chris Beard. We'll see you in a couple years.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if he makes that move. I don't know, man. He might after this year, like especially if he lost this game, although the NBA might not be as interested if he lost this game. But if he does make the tournament, he might say, all right, listen, I just had a coach leave. I know there's some smoke there with recruiting stuff. And I had to turn over my entire roster like 3 years in a row. The second time I did it, it worked out okay because I got some really good grad transfers. Obviously, Jared Culver was a stud, and he had some older guys, that leftovers from Tubby. But then this year, you know, I did it, and we're 18 and 14, and we're 3 and 11 or 3 and 10 in quad one games, whatever they are. So I think he might say, yeah, NBA sounds pretty good. I'm going to go ahead and jump at that opportunity. Do you think he would leave for the NBA if he got the opportunity to do that?
I don't think yet, because his recruiting class is still going to be really good next year. They're going to be good next year, I think. Yeah. I have a feeling. I think that class is really, really solid. So why leave on that?
When you look at the Big 12 next year, though, I mean, if Baylor were to return everybody and, you know, bring in LJ Cryer, Dane Donja, Zach Loveday, Jordan Turner will be available, JTT, Adam Flagler. I mean, I think you got to put Baylor number one in the conference preseason. Texas is going to be really good. They return everybody. Who else? Oklahoma State's got, you know, three top 50 players coming in. And
they got Cade Cunningham, yeah.
Yeah, and Isaac Likely and Yorine. I mean, they've got some good pieces there. And then West Virginia's young. I mean, they don't have very many seniors that matter. And then, you know, Kansas obviously is good every year, but they may be losing their coach. But, you know, it's going to be considered a high-profile job. Kansas may take a significant step back because – I bet if those NCAA violations come down hard, I could see Marcus Garrett leaving. I could see Abaji leaving. You know, obviously Doak and Dotson are going to leave. You know, so then you're not left with much, and then you're talking about a roster that's Mitch Lightfoot and, you know, a few other pieces, but not nearly as attractive as what they've been dealing with the past 20 years.
Right.
My point is, Texas Tech.
This is their best team in a while, too. Yeah. So.
I just don't know if Texas Tech, even as good as they may be, I don't know how much traction they're going to make. I mean, you know, there's going to be a lot of really good teams up at the top next year.
True.
But you never know. We'll see how that goes. You never know who goes pro.
Right. What if Jamias stays? Then they're for sure. if Jamias Ramsey stays,
he's gone.
Top three. He is, but they would be top three in the conference.
He's projected in the first round. There's no way. I mean, even if they gave him a Marcus Smart retention package like Oklahoma State did, I just don't think he would do it because the money's too good.
That did not work. That did not work out well for Marcus Smart.
Yeah. I mean, obviously he's making a ton of money in the NBA and doing fine.
Right, but that year they weren't good.
Right.
Yeah, they weren't good.
Barely made the NCAA, right.
Right, so what about, do you want to go in order? So are we going Kansas, Oklahoma State next?
Yep.
Or are we going, okay. I wonder how much Kansas is going to care about this tournament. I really do. And obviously, you know, they could go on and just win this whole thing. I think they're going to get pushed in this matchup. I unfortunately think that they're going to still win, but I could see them losing this game. It wouldn't surprise me at all, but I think they last this round just because they're just better than Oklahoma State. But I'm weary about it. I am.
I'll pick Kansas to advance also, but I'm with you. I think Oklahoma State's going to give them a game. I'll tell you who's not going to allow that to happen is the city of Kansas City's Visitor Bureau. if whatever payments need to be made are going to be made to make sure Kansas advances. Because could you imagine a Texas Tech, Oklahoma State, Baylor, either West Virginia or Oklahoma semifinal matchup.
I mean, not attractive.
KC will be in, I mean, the coronavirus plus that, plus Iowa State's terrible, plus Kansas State's terrible. I mean, that would be.
You'd be the only one there, Ashley. You'd be the only one watching.
There'll be some Baylor fans. There'll be some Baylor fans there. But yeah, you're right. It'll be kind of a dead atmosphere for sure compared to usual. I mean, just because of the support that Iowa State and Kansas State and Kansas have given it in the past. So I say Kansas advances, and then we've got, you know, Baylor and Kansas State, or Baylor TCU.
You got Baylor K State, so why don't you go ahead and pick?
Oh, I got Baylor advancing. Yeah. I got Baylor advancing. Yeah.
Yeah, I got Baylor advancing too. They're not losing to TCU twice in 2 weeks.
Nope.
They're not. They're just not. That is not happening. TCU can give up. They hemorrhage points at times. Baylor needs to put up 70 or 80 here and just go ahead and get this over with, move on to the semis, get some confidence, going back. I'm not saying that they're for sure going to run through this thing, but I'd like, they just need to play better.
Right.
And so play better and get healthy. I think it starts with this one. They take care of TCU pretty easily in my mind.
Yeah, Oklahoma, West Virginia. I mean, I think West Virginia is the better team. Certainly the strength metrics say they're the better team. But I just think they're so unpredictable. I mean, Oklahoma's gone to they beat them twice. The fact that Oklahoma beat them twice kind of gives me some pause, actually. I guess I'll pick West Virginia just for that reason, just because I don't think Bob Huggins is going to allow his team to get beat three times in a row by Oklahoma. So I'll take West Virginia.
Man, this is an interesting one for me. I have a hunch that West Virginia really prepared for that Baylor game, and they didn't like the fact that they were down by 30 at Baylor at one point, and they put everything into winning that game. I think they come right back down to earth. I was not impressed with them against Baylor. I thought Baylor played absolutely pitifully. I wasn't on the podcast with you, but I thought it was the worst performance of the year by them. And I thought West Virginia played really well. They played really solid, got some calls that went in their favor and were able to ride that momentum, especially at the end. I don't think they get up for this game like they did that one. I think Oklahoma beats them. I think Oklahoma advances and knocks off Big O.
Okay, so I've got Texas Tech, Kansas, Baylor, and West Virginia. You've got Texas Tech, Kansas, Baylor, and Oklahoma.
Yep, so only one off is what we're only one difference right now. So right. Who are you taking in that first semifinal matchup, Texas Tech and Kansas?
Oh, man. I think Kansas wins, especially in Kansas City. They're going to have fans there. It's going to be their inside advantage over Texas Tech is just extreme. And yeah, Texas Tech gave them a heck of a game in Lubbock, but and really in Allen Fieldhouse too. I just think Kansas wins that. So I'll say Kansas in the final, and I'll say Baylor survives the other end of the bracket. So Baylor beats West Virginia in part of their revenge tour. And they will face Kansas in the finals on Saturday night.
Upset alert.
Oh.
I got Texas Tech beating Kansas. I mentioned it in their previous round. I don't think Kansas really cares about this. Okay. And I know people will disagree with me and people will say, oh, if Baylor wins out and they beat Kansas in the finals, Baylor's the number one overall seed. Nah, Kansas could lose in the first round or whatever. Baylor's not getting the number one overall seed over Kansas with the way they finished. I firmly believe that. I think they usually take more stock in the regular season. I think Baylor would be the number two, the second number one seed, but they won't be the number one overall, in my opinion. I don't think Kansas has a whole lot to play for here, and I think Texas Tech does. They got out of the Texas game by my prediction, so that puts them squarely in the tournament, but now it's kind of about seeding. And I think they play really hard in this game. I think Kansas wants no part of getting hurt in this game. And they care too much about that than they do winning. I'll take Tech. In the other game, I think it's really interesting that OU in that matchup at Baylor, was able to keep it close.
Right.
And then in the one at OU, Baylor did what they did for most of the game at home. They just didn't allow that late run to make it look closer than it was. I think it's actually one of the better matchups for Baylor, honestly. OU's guards are just not very scary to me. I think Freddie is quick enough to somewhat stay with a guy like Reeves or, easily handle the physicality of Doolittle, unlike some of the other guards that Baylor has faced. So I think Baylor wins that one pretty easily and advances to the finals.
All right, so we got Baylor and Kansas in the final for me, and I say Baylor's Big 12 champ, and then you've got Baylor-Texas Tech. Who wins that Baylor-Texas Tech game?
Wait, so you're just going to breeze over Baylor-Kansas part three that you're picking Baylor? You're not even going to add anything to it? You're just going to
– they're super motivated. I mean, they want a piece of Kansas, and I think it's going to be similar to their game at Allen Fieldhouse. I mean, Baylor, despite evidence to the contrary at TCU and at West Virginia near the end of the season, I mean, they generally play really well on neutral courts and well away from home. I think it's just part of being an old team, a mature team, and I think they kind of iron out some of their offensive flaws that we've seen in the last couple weeks, and I think they managed to get it done. Barring any re-injuries, you know, if Vital's able to go and if he's effective and Maceo Teague's able to go and he's effective, Scott Drew said today that Matt Meyer's fine. He's going to be able to go, so that's great news. He said probably don't expect Tristan. So, you know, we're going to have to manage around that situation. I think this would be a game where you put Flo Thamba in there and you say, okay, Flo, when Azubuike catches the ball, you be really, really physical with him. You just make sure he doesn't actually make the shot, you know, when he goes up. So that's your charge. And I think, you know, having Flo give, you know, five hard fouls will be beneficial and kind of wear Kansas down and, you know, be an advantage for Baylor late. Just got to be judicious about it. So that's my thought. I'll just say one more thing. I think there's a part of the Big 12 conference, and I think you saw it in the Coach of the Year voting. I think there's a part that's like, we're embarrassed by Kansas. I mean, we're embarrassed by the Snoop Dogg stuff. We're embarrassed by the rogue, you know, program. We're embarrassed that they're bucking up their chest and fighting all these NCAA accusations. I mean, there's probably a part of the leadership of the Big 12 and the members of the Big 12 that are going to be rooting for Baylor. And I think that may enter into the thinking of the officiating too. And so, as strange as it sounds coming out of my mouth that, you know, Baylor may get a good whistle against Kansas, I think it's entirely possible that that might happen.
Yeah, I listening to Scott today, and then obviously when I got on the call with you, you know, talking about how motivated they are to win this thing, I was actually, you know, coming into this going to pick Tech to win this. But just hearing kind of what you think is going to, as far as like Baylor's motivation for this, because I'm kind of sitting here like, I kind of want Baylor to lose. I kind of don't want Baylor to win the Big 12 championship, because it seems like I've seen this story time and time again. Team kind of struggles at the end of conference play, then they get into the Big 12 tournament and win it, and then they go to the tournament and they get upset. And I think there was an Iowa State team that I believe lost to UAB that won the Big 12 tournament. There was a Missouri team with Phil Presley that lost to Norfolk State that won the tournament, kind of the same way where they struggled at the end and then won the Big 12 tournament, and everyone thought, oh, all this momentum. But really, they just went in and they were beaten down a little bit from the grind of, you know, going through the tournament. But I you can also see it different ways. You know, Kimball Walker's UConn teams, you know, there's Kansas has won the Big 12 tournament and made a run. So I think it's going to swing somewhat that way. I think Baylor's going to beat Tech because I think they're a better team. But I wish they didn't have to go through another grinding matchup against Texas Tech. I just think that is a team that it's just they stink to play. They're just no fun to play against. But I think Baylor gets it done as well. I'm going to pick them to win it because I just think that they've been the more consistent team, and usually the more consistent team wins. So I'll take them, and they'll be a Big 12 tournament champs for the first time under Scott Drew, right?
That would be the first one. Yeah, and I think it's a big goal. I think our guys are motivated to do it. I mean, I think that they I put a post up. I was trying to find it. Let's see. I can't locate it quickly, but it is kind of amazing. Like, it's the stats say like 80% of the teams in the last 10 years that have got to their conference championship end up being the national champion. Now I think it's like 50-50 of winning that conference championship. But it is important, at least the last 10 years, to actually get to the conference championship. It's one of those things. It's hard to do that. I mean, it's hard to win your conference championship in one of the top conferences and then turn around and win the NCAA championship. But there's no reason why you would think that losing in your conference championship is going to be a good thing. I mean, Baylor's already got a couple losses here late in the year. Their memory should be nice and short, you know, and they should be able to remember, you know, exactly what's happened recently. So I don't expect any letdown in the tournament if they're able to you know, win the Big 12 tournament.
Right. So I also have to ask, you know, now that we've kind of run through this, how many teams did the Big 12 get in based on your predictions? And
well, if
what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, if Texas Tech ends up, I do think Texas Tech and Texas is an NCAA play-in game. You know, I know that there are some that believe that the committee's going to value strength metrics more than actual resume, because if Texas Tech is going on resume, they don't have a really good leg to stand on unless they get a win or two in this Big 12 tournament. But if they're going on strength metrics and Texas wins, then maybe it's possible that both of those teams get in. But West Virginia's in, Oklahoma's in, Baylor's in, Kansas is in, and then I say the winner of Texas Tech and Texas. So I'm saying five teams total.
Okay. I know that we've talked about this, and I know you don't like Texas Tech's, you know, strength metrics and things like that, but they're still number 22 in the net. So I still think if they lose, I think they're in. But obviously, I picked them to win, so I think they're in the moment. If they beat Texas, they're in, without a doubt. They're already in 100 of 104 brackets right now on the bracket matrix. So,
well, they got some help. They got some help on Saturday. Purdue losing at home, that's a big.
Gosh. Oh, don't. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that helped them. UCLA losing, you know, that could possibly help them. North Carolina State, I don't know if they're kind of on the bubble in the ACC, so that's another one. But, yeah, you know, Indiana losing, I mean, that's another bubble team.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you just never know what kind of craziness is going to come out of, like, you know, the West Coast Conference, obviously, St. Mary's, BYU, Gonzaga. So if any of those teams win their tournament, which probably one of them will, then they're all three in anyway. But then you got situations like, you know, Richmond and East Tennessee State and Northern Iowa. I mean, there's a bunch of teams there that, you know, could possibly, you know, steal a bid if Texas Tech were to lose. I mean, I know their strength metrics are good, but I don't know, man. I mean, it's like ultimately you got to go look at who they beat, and I mean, they've right now got three wins against top 50 teams. And they're, you know, they've got a couple wins against the bottom, like the Texas, TCUs, the Kansas States of the world. I mean, they beat up on the bottom of the conference. They beat Oklahoma State. It's just not a very impressive resume. All eight of their wins are against teams that are in that 200 plus strength metrics. So eight of their 18 wins. So they're 10-13 in quadrant one, quadrant two, quadrant three opportunities, 10-13.
Wow.
That's shady.
Yeah. Yeah, that's tough. But I mean, but then you also look at the bubble, and we're sitting here, the first four out, according to bracket matrix, UCLA's at 52. They're in 52 brackets. They're like the, you know, they're the first team, I guess, left out, or the last team left out. Texas is in 42, NC State's in 37, Northern Iowa's in 10, and then you drop down to Purdue and Mississippi State. Purdue's in three brackets and Mississippi State's in six. So that bubble is just not, I mean, Texas beats them, they probably, you know, they jump in, but it's also, you have to look at, you know, if a team like, you know, Richmond already lost in their conference tournament. So, I mean, are they going to be able to hang on? Is Cincy going to make a run in the American, or if they lose, are they out?
Right.
You know, a lot of these other teams could lose. It's going to be fascinating to see what happens. But I do think that if Tech loses, they're still in. But I have them winning, so Texas would be out in the NIT. And hopefully they get to play A&M in the NIT. That would be absolutely hilarious.
Man, A&M's playing some pretty good basketball right now. Yeah.
I know. Buzz has them rolling. They might make the NCAA tournament if they win the SEC championship.
You know what? I mean, the SEC is ripe for somebody like that to come and win it. I mean, the SEC is overall pretty weak. I mean, KenPom has Kentucky as the strongest team in the conference. They're 25-6. Obviously, they won the league. They're 28th in KenPom. You know, and Ashton Hagans is like throwing around $20,000 in cash on a social media video. Did you see that?
Yeah, yes. He's out for personal reasons.
Yeah. So. I mean, but yeah, you look at the SEC, and it's, I mean, A&M could win that thing. They definitely could win that thing.
They're not winning that thing.
Well, there's no strong teams.
I don't see it.
I don't know. They're 10-8. They're 10-8 in the league, and
that is
South Carolina, Mississippi State, Florida, LSU, Auburn. I mean, any of those teams strike the fear of God in you? Tennessee.
How bad is that league that A&M's the 7th seed in the conference tournament?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! Didn't A&M lose to like Fairfield?
Fairfield.
I'm pretty sure they did. Yeah, I think they lost to Fairfield.
They lost to Fairfield. 67-62. Fairfield's number 295.
Well, they got blown out too.
Harvard beat them by 11. Yeah, Gonzaga beat them by 30. Temple beat them by 23. I mean, they've come a long way. Obviously, they're a lot better basketball team than they were early in the year.
For sure. So, I do want to mention Bracket Matrix actually added. It's up to 122 brackets now. And Tech is currently in 118 of them. They're a 10 seed right now. So, I mean, they're looking pretty good. And also, I just want to point this out for Baylor fans. Baylor is the number one seed in all 122 brackets. The only other team that can say that is Kansas right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Their resume is the strongest, no doubt about it. So, you know who, where Joe Lunardi has Texas Tech right now, don't you?
Where?
Last four buys. He's got two of your former Duke point guards right now. This is the latest stuff. He's got Marquette, Arizona State, Texas Tech, and UCLA all as the last four buys. And then the last four in, he's got Stanford, Indiana, Texas, and NC State. And then the first four out, Richmond, Xavier, Wichita State, Memphis. Next four out, Mississippi State, Tulsa, Purdue, and Northern Iowa.
Look at Purdue. How? At 16-15, they are still like they still have a chance.
Yeah.
I don't know how that is possible.
It's a pretty weak net, and
the net is pretty hilarious because I'm looking at Purdue's at 33 at 16-15, and this is all Big Ten because this is my favorite one. Minnesota is number 43. At 14-16, 2-10 on the road. And they're number 43 in the net because they lost to a bunch of Big Ten teams.
So let's assume that Baylor's able to get past their 16 seed. They don't have a Virginia experience, and they're able to win that game against their 16 seed. So the 8-9s right now, Houston, USC, that's in Kansas's bracket. Man, I'd love to see Kelvin Sampson go up against Kansas. Then you got LSU, Rutgers, that's projected in Baylor's bracket. This is by Joe Lunardi. Arizona, Oklahoma is an 8-9. St. Mary's in Florida is the other 8-9s. Any of those, of all those teams, which one's the scariest to you?
Well, I can't imagine that they would throw, you know, Oklahoma, Houston in Houston, or Florida in the same region as Baylor, since they already played or giving Houston home court advantage. I don't think they would do that.
Right.
So I don't really count those. I know it's happened, but I highly doubt it, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So
Houston would have to beat if that happened in Omaha, like Houston would actually have to beat Baylor to get home court advantage in Houston.
Right. Oh, you're right. Okay. So as far as striking fear, I think I personally would not want to see Baylor play LSU. I do not think LSU is probably
talent level.
The scariest one just because of talent. I mean, you just never know. Talent can get hot. Other than that, yeah. Baylor should beat all of those teams.
I see Houston. I mean, because I have so much respect for Kelvin Sampson's coaching, but I mean, they're not as good as they were last year for sure. But Houston would be the one that I probably wouldn't want to see of those ones mentioned. LSU doesn't scare me. They're terrible on defense. I mean, sure, they can beat Baylor. I mean, they're talented enough to beat Baylor, but I just think that Baylor would abuse them offensively.
It's a tale as old as time, Ashley. You get in the tournament, and then all of a sudden, guys start running into the lane and throwing up garbage and getting to the free throw line, and then you look up and you see the scoreboard, and you see that, you know, a guy like Skylar Mays has 30 points, and it's just, what in the world just happened? And they got five guys that score in double figures. Like, they got guys that can put the ball in the basket, and I know they don't guard well, but that kind of talent I usually like to stay away from.
Right.
I prefer when it's playing teams like, you know, Rutgers. Rutgers is a good team, but you know what Rutgers isn't? They're not as good as the team as they, and they don't have a superstar.
Right.
And, like, you know what I mean? Like, things like that usually as well go with. But, yeah, so LSU, and you got Houston. Who scares you the most on the 4-5 line if Baylor gets into the next round?
Okay,
just
so
any team.
So this is Lunardi's 4-5 picks. He's got BYU. He's got Wisconsin. He's got Oregon, Auburn. It's kind of the ones we talked about earlier. Ohio State, Louisville, Butler, Maryland. Definitely Maryland. I think Maryland's probably the best team of those ones I just mentioned. And I would say Wisconsin, just because they play a very methodical, limit possessions type of game. You know, Oregon can be a challenge. Dana Altman throws that, you know, kind of a different defense at you. And they've had a lot of tournament success. So those are the three that I would point out. You know, Ohio State, I actually think Ohio State's better than maybe, you know, you'd think they are. I mean, they haven't been very consistent, but they've got some high-end talent.
They do. I on that level, you know, I wouldn't want to face Louisville. I don't like that they have, and once again, they have a lottery pick. So I don't usually like playing against a guy like that. And see, the weird part about him is, you know, Vidal's an amazing defender, but I personally prefer Davion Mitchell guarding the other team's best player, but I think they'd have to put Vidal on, you know, Jordan Nora. I think just size wise. I think Louisville there, but I'll say this, just because it's a team that's trending up that I think will be on the 4-5 line. And we've talked about a little bit. I do not want to see any part of Virginia in the Sweet 16. No, thank you.
I mean, just like Wisconsin, they limit possessions. They've won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 in a row, you know, so they won 8 in a row. They've got a couple guys that won a national championship last year, know how to win. Number one team in defensive efficiency. We struggled against some good defenses in recent weeks, West Virginia and Kansas. So, yeah, I agree with you. That would be a tough
matchup. Thank you on that. What about 2-seed? Who's the scariest 2-seed that you don't want to see in a Baylor bracket?
Well,
and it can be projected, too. If
sure.
you're projecting a team going to run, that's fine, too. That you just don't want in the bracket is the 2-seed.
Well, the 2-seeds here by Lunardi are Creighton, Kentucky, Florida State, San Diego State. I would say definitely Florida State of those four. I would much rather have San Diego State, Kentucky, or Creighton.
Okay. I can probably I probably agree with that. I just Florida State in the tournament. I don't know. I don't know if they even make it.
But right now Michigan State is in. Projected in the Houston bracket, so I think it would be.
Yeah.
I think Michigan State would beat Florida State, and that would
as
be
a 3-seed.
That would be a tough team to beat to get to the Final Four, but
that would be.
You know what?
Yeah,
Texas Tech did it, and we know that if John Wooden Jr. can do it, the coach that consistently beats John Wooden Jr. can certainly do it as well. So
definitely could be the case. It's going to be fun to watch and fun to see how this tournament plays out, and then we get to talk about real matchups.
Oh, I can't wait. It's going to be fun. Well, any other parting thoughts? You got any hot opinions that you want to throw down before we close this podcast?
Any more hot opinions? Oh.
You think the coronavirus is going to shut down any of the March Madness action?
Oh, I hope not. I really hope not. I'm not enjoying the whole, you know, I know the business world is not not going very well right now because of it. So I'm hoping it doesn't, because everyone is just like freaking out about it. I know it's been a big problem, but I don't think it's going to do something to March Madness, and I hope it doesn't. But obviously, if it's a safety thing and you have to, I mean, you have to, but it'd take a lot of the luster off of what is an amazing event.
Yeah. It's hard to imagine them doing that, but I think people are just in full-fledged panic right now. I think if you just take some common sense precautions, then, you know, most people are going to be fine. I guess I would be of the opinion, this is out of my field. Obviously, I probably shouldn't even speak on it, but I have been watching lots of videos because I'm in the investment business, and, you know, like virologists, that have spoken on this issue, and some are very alarmist and, you know, saying that this is a way bigger deal than the media is making it out to be. And, but there's others that are more, I think, rational minded that I've tended to, you know, place a little bit more confidence in just because they seem more pragmatic. One that I listened to today was saying, you know, there's probably been 500,000 to 1 million people that have contracted this COVID-19. So, you know, the fact that you have 3,500 people that have died, you know, puts it at a mortality rate of way under 1%, and not the 3.5% that, you know, is being told to us by outlets, just because so many people that would contract it don't have severe symptoms, so they're not going to the hospital. I think in the Asian cultures, there's definitely a belief that you go to the hospital to die. You don't go to the hospital to get better. So I think that there's, you know, a lot of that going on too. But anyway, I say all that to say, I do think that the panic is definitely over sensationalized, and we will look back at this as something that's, you know, definitely a major health concern, but not anything like, you know, 1918 Spanish flu or the Black Plague and, you know, things like that. I mean, it's going to come and go, especially with warmer weather. And we're getting some warm weather down here in Texas. It's going to be in the 80s next couple of days. So that's good news
that's
for
exciting.
The virus. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so, all right. So I'll be in Kansas City. I'll be giving you some reports from the ground level. So I'll have my podcast kit with me. So hopefully we can do some podcasts, you know, before and after the games and kind of chart the action. Jason King's going to be there. I don't know if he's going to be able to cover the women's action as well. But obviously the women are playing. Did you see Kim Mulkey's response to the Iowa State reporter after losing that game yesterday by chance?
I didn't. What'd she say?
It was classic Mulkey. This reporter was kind of trying to set her up for this quote. You know, he says, well, Kim, you've won a lot of games, and, you know, you've had a tremendous run here of just winning and championships. What's it like? What does it feel like to lose a game? And she said, oh, you know, it's fantastic. You know, we get in the locker room and we cheer and we jump up and down. We pour water on each other. We get real excited. It's just great. You know, she's very sarcastic, very funny.
Oh my God.
One of the better, it's probably going to go under the radar just because it's not going to get the attention that, you know, like a Torian Prince would get, but I thought it was pretty awesome. She did a good job there. She goes, what do you think
Typical
it feels like?
Kim Mulkey, that's awesome.
She's like, what do you think it feels like? We hate losing. We're not trying to lose games. Pretty
right.
Funny.
Oh my gosh. Well, hopefully they get it back rolling again.
Yeah.
After that loss.
They're going to win that tournament easily. And I think they will not be challenged until they get to the Elite Eight. But I will say that, you know, Iowa State kind of brought up an old demon, so to speak. You know, just I think the key to beating Baylor's women is 3-point shooting. And if you can shoot it well from the outside and you can, you know, really frustrate Baylor around the rim and keep them from just going, you know, bully ball on you, then I think teams have a chance. I think it was just a perfect storm of circumstances. And, you know, Baylor didn't play their best game. Iowa State was making some ridiculous shots. They certainly got the benefit of some calls down the stretch. No question about that. I doubt that's going to happen again.
I was going to say, you know, when Baylor gets the other way teams beat Baylor is when somehow magically teams that shoot 24 threes somehow end up shooting more free throws than Baylor, which is absolutely hilarious because Baylor feeds, you know, goes into the post, goes into the lane so much. Like, they should rarely ever be outshot at the free throw line, yet – in a lot of tournament games, that's what's happened to them. And
right.
Yeah, so it's kind of a mixed bag. It's obviously the three ball, but also not getting calls when you're constantly going in the lane and probing the lane and then losing to a team that only shoots threes. It's that's been another common theme to some of their losses.
Yep, I agree with you. Well, hey, you've been listening to a Sikkim 365 podcast with Ashley Hodge and Grayson Grunhafer, Sikkim Bears.